Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. All right, we're going to do a couple of things as we begin this morning. I'm going to have you remain seated just for a moment. Is that okay? When we read the scripture, I'll have you stand as when we read what I'm going to preach on. Before I do that, I need to mention, Sonia, who do you have with you? From Belize. Wonderful. And where is she from? Who? And she from Belmopan? Oh, San Jose Sucuts, something like that? Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Who else did I see that was new? Oh, right here. I got that new hair coloring, too. Go ahead and introduce her, sister. Judy? She's your friend, isn't she? Okay. Glad to have you, sister. And who's that person beside you? I got one word for you. And sorry, folks, I'm not going to explain the word nor what it means. Kayu mungi. All right. Turn your Bibles. By the way, do not stand. I want to show you something. The job of a pastor is also to teach. So there's no reason why we don't learn a couple of things along the way. Matthew 8:18, please. So when you're reading this chapter that I've been preaching from for a while, I want you to notice there are some things that tie it together in the sense of, you know, these aren't just made up stories. Verse 18. Now when Jesus saw the multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Well, we'd have to determine the other side of what? Talking about the Sea of Galilee, okay? Sea of Galilee, please don't think about Lake Michigan. Think more, it's bigger than Lake Winnebago, though. It's 13 miles long, 6 or 7 miles across, Linda? Do you remember? I think that's about right. So it's a fairly good-sized lake. Okay, verse 23. So he says, we need to get out of here. Verse 23. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So you see the progression. We need to leave. They get in the ship. Yes? The story this morning, verse 28, is where we'll pick up later. And when he was come to the other side into the country of, and there's about 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 ways of spelling this word. There met him 2 possessed with demons or devils. The point being is, he's on one side, look up here. He says, we need to leave. They get in the ship. They go to the other side. That's where this story today transpires. And guess what's going to happen? Chapter 9, verse 1. He entered to a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And folks, the difference would be this. On the west side in those days of the Sea of Galilee would be more Jewish, Galilee. On the east side, Jordan today, would be more the Decapolis, the 10 Greek cities. It would be more pagan. So the story we're going to read today, look at me, I heard Billy Baptist preachers preaching foolishness, did not transpire among Jewish people. It transpired among pagans who owned pigs. Got it? So we started near Capernaum where Jesus headquartered. We went into a boat. We went across. Then we're going to go back. Just a little bit of technicality. It's not real deep. It's actually pretty straightforward. All right. Now we're going to read something else. Are you ready? We're now going to read why chapter 8 and chapter 9 is in the Bible. chapter 8 and chapter 9, which follows 5, 6, and 7, is put here because 5, 6, and 7, Jesus teaches about himself, the kingdom of God, how to live. Verse 8 and 9 says, here's why you need to listen to this person. So all through chapter 8 and chapter 9, he keeps saying the same things. But you need to write these down or note them so you see the progression. Verse 27 of chapter 8. After one of these events, it says, but the men marveled or were shocked. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Verse 33. This will be this morning. And they that kept them, the pigs, fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the demons or devils. I'm going to say demons all morning. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Chapter 9 and verse 6, which is the apex of the two chapters. It's the central theme. But that, 9 verse 6, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Folks, he does a miracle after miracle after miracle that gets everybody looking around and wondering. He's trying to get our attention. Who is he? By the way, if Jesus is just another man, why listen? Why would you give your life? Why would you do anything if he is not the very Son of God? The two chapters over and over point to that. Same chapter, verse 33. Excuse me, verse 30. No, it's not either. Verse 25. I can't even read. And you know what's even worse? It's in verse 8. Start in verse 8. Verse 8, it says, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled or were shocked and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now verse 25. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. You see, every story, it's he goes in, he does something no one can do, because the reason we believe what he said is because of who he is. Verse 30, and their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly or immediately charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So you just get this impression. Jesus did these things to say, listen, I've told you about the kingdom. I've told you about the kingdom of God. I've told you how a child of God behaves, how we pray, how we fast, how we give, and all of these things. Well, here's why I told you that, because of who I am. Lastly, we'll get there down the road. A text that has moved me greatly reading it over vacation, but I'm not going to get to it today. Verse 33, and when the demon or the devil was cast out, the dumb, meaning the person who could not speak, spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. All right, Matthew chapter 8, please. Let's stand, verse 28. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. So everybody in this room now understands. Look at me. You understand the geography, starting in his hometown, crossing the Sea of Galilee into the pagan land. That's where we're at now. He's then going to go back. You also understand chapter 8 and chapter 9 are not amusing stories for your benefit. They are to tell you, who is this man? And this man can not only heal, cast out demons, still the waves. This man can forgive sins right now, right here. That's the message. All right, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of, and I'm not even going to say it. Folks, if you're reading a new translation, it's going to give a different spelling because the word was spelled many, many different ways. Please look at me. Do not get nervous. My family moved into southern Illinois into an area that was called Woody. Everybody in my extended family, hundreds of people, call that area Woody. There's only one problem. There's never been a city called Woody. It was called Woodston. So who's lying? people say different things about same places, okay? This is, it's not important how the word is spelled. Jesus comes across the Sea of Galilee into a different, the foreigners, basically. There met him two possessed, I'm going to say demons, because that's the word, daimonizomai, demon-possessed men, coming of all places out of the tombs. You mean they lived in a cemetery? Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. I mean, these men were out of control kinds of individuals. By the way, Mark has a much longer story. Matthew only has the purpose of telling you who Jesus is, so he doesn't tell the whole story. Verse 29, and behold, so Jesus meets these demon-possessed men, but inhabited by demons. And the other passage is going to say there was a bunch of them. It says, behold, they, meaning the demons, cried out, probably through the mouths of the men, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Isn't it strange the demons knew exactly who Jesus was? And then, friend, a verse that changes your understanding of demonology. We're not into witchcraft in Lake County Baptist. You say, why? Did you read the next line? What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art or are you come hither to this place to torment us before the time? Did you read that? Do you realize every demon and Satan knows something? They're going to hell. And when do they repent? Let me ask you a question. Satan is bound in the beginning of the millennium for 1,000 years, and he is released at the very end. And what does he do? Repent? I'm sorry. People that choose not to come to Christ choose exactly what they would choose 10 million times. They're worried, are you going to torment us before the time? Because they know they're going to be tormented in hell. Wow. The demons. Verse 30. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine, pigs, same word, feeding. So the demons besought him or begged him, saying, if thou cast us out, if you cast us out, suffer or allow us to go away into the herd of swine or pigs. And friend, for the life of me, we don't know why. Why do they want to be in some pigs? And don't make up theology. I've heard all kinds of foolishness. We don't know. All I know is they see some pigs and they say, would you put us in those pigs? Okay. He said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine or pigs. And behold, the whole herd of the swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Now that's kind of insane. And they kept them, and they that kept them fled. Well, I would too. And went their ways into the city and told everything and what had befallen to the possessed of the demons. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, the bad part is the next line. And when they saw him, they begged him that he would get out of Dodge. That's literally from the Greek. Get out of Dodge. Leave our coast. Get out of here. This morning, I'm going to talk about coming out of the tombs. Father, I ask that you'll help me this morning. I desire to be only a help to the church. I desire most of all to lift up the Lord Jesus. We need to know who he is. In troubled and troubling times, and we have been through much trouble. Right now, our beloved Pachungay is suffering the loss of her mother. It isn't about our faith. It isn't about what's in us. It's about who he is. And this Jesus who has saved us, this one who gave his life for us, is the very sovereign Lord of the universe. And this morning, we want to be encouraged, helped, enlightened, and I ask that your word would help us to do that. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Demons immediately raise many questions. frankly, in the modern mind, demons don't set well except on TV and except in maybe fantasy kinds of books. Christians have some questions, and I'm going to partially answer them. One of the questions that many Christians ask is this: is this just, are there demons now, or were there just demons then, back there when Jesus was on earth? And friends, there were some unique things when Jesus was on earth. No demon is going to cry out and say, Ralph Warren. Jesus was the very God of very God. So things were a little different, but I would say to you, I believe that yes, there are still demons today. Some people ask this question, not now or then, they ask, are there demons in America? I hear Franco said this to me many times. I love Franco. He's my friend. I've never tried to correct him, but I think he's 100% wrong. He says, if you come to Haiti, you'll see demons. Now, listen, look at me, please. Look at me, please. I think I know what he's talking about, but I think most of us missed the point. Do you really believe we have no demon activity in America? I would attribute, folks, the rise in murder to something. Do you realize the city of Chicago has a number of murders every year? We can't even count them now. 800 last year? 800 in one city? I want to say this. I believe demons might take a different form in Haiti than they do here. And I think that's what Franco is saying. Because there you have people that are actively engaged in demon worship. So you might get, look at me, you might get a different face. But if you ask me, are there demons now or just back then? I would say, well, the activity might have been different then because Jesus was present, but we still have demons now. And I would also say, it isn't, oh, we don't have any here. They have them over there, wherever over there is. I think Satan and his demons take whatever tools they can use in whatever area they can use, but the things are still there. I think I'll demonstrate that this morning. A third thing that people ask, exactly what do demons do? Is it demons do nothing? Now I'm going to quote Frenchie, because I already know Frenchie's thinking this. Or do demons do everything? Is this a Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it? Folks, you have to ask a simple question. Is what we see, when you see people rape and murder, and there's so many murders, do you realize I grew up, Jim, you grew up, Jenny, we grew up 60s, you're a little bit older than me, but 50s, 60s, and 70s. The Charles Manson murders happen once a week in America now. And you're telling me you don't believe there's any demonic power in this country? If you're looking at TV nonsense, but I'm going to say this, friends, demons aren't everything, but they are something. And I think we see their activity. I think actually this text is going to give away a piece of that. All right. On June the 8th, my wife and I boarded a plane early in the morning. My brother and a half took Jenny and I to the airport really early in the morning. I don't think he was awake going. I don't know about coming home. We got to Phoenix, and when we got off the airport in Phoenix, you have your phone on airplane mode. Turned my phone back on regular mode, stuck it in my pocket, didn't think, went to look at things, pulled it out, and there was a voice message. Well, 90% of my voice messages are robocalls. So I just eliminate them, but I thought, well, I'll look at it. I clicked back, I looked at it, and it was our hotel. A lady asking me to call. And about the same time I'm looking at this, Jenny is trying to find directions to Globe, Arizona. Phoenix is not in the far south, but it's south, two-thirds down, and straight across to the east is Globe, Arizona. We had tickets. We had reservations for 3 days in Globe, Arizona. We're off of the airplane. There's a phone message. And I called the lady, and Jenny looked up, I think you looked up directions, and folks, Globe is like an hour, hour and a half out of Phoenix. And the directions took us like 100 miles north and back. Like 3 hours trip. And I'm like, I call the lady and she says, I'm sorry to inform you, Mr. Warren, there's a forest fire in Globe, Arizona. They are evacuating the entire area. The hotel is shutting down. I had 3 days booked there. Now, you say, why do you tell that story? Are you listening to me? I never saw the forest fire. I saw the results of the forest fire. We couldn't go there. A few days later, Jenny and I, the next week, we go to Moab. As we get to Moab, Utah, we start smelling smoke. Smoke is in the air. Friends, I never saw a forest fire in Moab, Utah, but I smelled it. Finally, on June 21, we are leaving Gallup, New Mexico. We had met our missionaries, the Nelsons, our Navajo missionaries, in Gallup, New Mexico, had a nice meal with them. We're now driving back across Arizona to Flagstaff. As we drive across Arizona to Flagstaff, man, all of a sudden, in an air-conditioned car, all you can smell is smoke. We're now in another forest fire, separate from the other two. Friends, this is not an exaggeration. We drive into Flagstaff, Arizona, which is two-thirds of the way up, kind of middle, a little bit on the west side. We drive into Flagstaff. The smoke is so thick you cannot see. You have to turn your headlights on. We went out to eat that night with Russ and Karen Evans, which used to be part of this church back in the 70s and early 80s. We saw ash on our car. So I want to say this. Please look at me. Some of you, you don't have a clue where I'm going. I don't believe in demons because I have seen one. I believe in demons because I have seen the results. I never saw one forest fire. But every place we went, you could smell smoke. There were three. The one in Moab was small. There was a massive one in Globe. I think they said it was the largest one in Arizona history. There was a big one in every place we went. Have you smelled? By the way, you would have so much stuff. I'm not going to get it because my wife says TMI. You're blowing your nose, blowing out ashes out of your nose and your eyes and your ears. And that night, I remember rubbing my head and it's like, yuck, ash, every place. She said, you believe in demons. Well, let's pick that up. Look with me at verse 28, would you please? Verse 28. It says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of wherever this place is, there met him two. The King James says possessed with devils, but it's daimonion, it's demons. There's only one diabolos, devil. There are many demons. There were two possessed with demons, plural. The other episodes tell us how many demons. There was a bunch of them. It says he meets these two men possessed with demons. We don't know how it happened. We don't know where it began. We just know he runs into two men possessed with a whole lot of demons, and they were living in the tombs. They were exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by that way. Turn your Bible to John chapter 10 and verse 10, please. John chapter 10 and verse 10. My first thought as I read this text is this: demons. Their existence is real. There really are demons. You say, I've never seen one, nor have I. I've never seen a demon. We might joke about it, but I've never seen a demon. I've never been around any of the TV movie stuff. I've never seen somebody that goes, you know, and does all. I've never seen any of that. By the way, I'm not sure how important that is. But I do know this. according to the scripture, demons, their existence is real. How do you know? I've already told you. You know by the what? The results. John chapter 10, verse 10. How do I know a demon or demons have had influence in your life? Jesus is here comparing himself with Satan. He's using different language, okay? Everybody got it? John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but far to what? By the way, you're looking at Satan's activity. Satan's activity is simple. It's not this. Please look up here. It's not this. Woo. It's not, oh, I'm afraid. That's all TV foolishness. Satan comes to steal and to do what? What? Kill and to do what? Friends, I'm a real simple person. My first point is very simple. Demons, their existence is real. How do I know? Because I see the results. I see people that could have had a life whose life was stolen from them. I see people that could have had success who had that destroyed. I see people that ruin their life and even die young. You say, I don't look around for the fire. I look around for the results of the fire. I can't go to Globe. I can smell the smoke in Moab. It was so bad in Flagstaff on that first night, you could barely breathe. I remember pulling up to our hotel room and grabbing our luggage, and I mean, it was hard to breathe outside. We took the stuff inside and then went back out to meet Russ and Karen. It was a miserable, because just every place was smoke and ash and, oh. So please look at me. Kids grow up in a church like Lake County Baptist. You say, oh, they got possessed by a demon. Do me a favor, shut that stupidity up. Answer this question. Have they been influenced? Well, do you see them losing what they should have? Do you see destruction? Do you see death? If you do, you don't have to see the fire to know that demons are real, because that's the results of demons. Always. Smoke, burning, destruction. In this case, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, by the way, I also know somebody following the Lord. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it. You see somebody following the Lord. Do they have problems? Of course, but they don't lose their life. They don't lose their family. They don't lose the great gifts that God gives them. Why? Because by following Christ, we not only get eternal life, we get a different kind of life right now, right here. There's a huge chasm. Theft, destruction, death, life, and more abundantly. That's how you know. Number two, look back at verse 28, please. I have said demons, their existence is real. Number two, verse 28, again, please. And when he was come to the other side into the country of this place, there met him two possessed with demons. And of course, the rest of the scripture is going to talk about how many, a lot, a legion, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Friend number two, demons, not only their existence is real, number two, their corruption is total or complete. You see, there is godliness and then there is ungodliness. Even an unsaved person might not be totally corrupt, but a demon, in anything a demon can influence, the corruption becomes complete. Total, complete corruption, evil, destruction, perversion. The text says exceedingly fierce. That word is used two times in the New Testament. it is used here of demons being exceeding fierce. Please look at me. Have you not seen something in our country? Do you not see? I mean, just stuff that doesn't. I understand two people don't like each other, they get in a fight. I cannot for the life of me understand why you walk up beside someone who is an Asian, whatever an Asian is, and you decide that it's okay to hit them. Look at me. Why would a person do that? Why would a person go and murder little children? Why would a person murder their own children? By the way, this word fierce is found here. It's found in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, which talks about the last time, not 3, verse 1. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, would you please? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Let's turn there. We'll come right back to our text. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Do you know what I see in America? I don't see any woo demons. I see people who love themselves. More than anything. Or you say, Pastor Warren, demons are in Haiti where people do voodoo. Look at me, friends. Loving yourself is a mark of the last times apart from Christ. In America, thinks the only thing that's important is to love yourself. Wow. Let's keep reading. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Everybody in this room knows what that means. You don't even have, that's one of the Greek words for love. And it means the love of a mom for a child, the dad for a child. We don't even love our own children. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," meaning without self-control. And look at the next word. What? Please look at me. Demons. Their existence is real. How do you know? The results. Their corruption is total. When we read this story, we find two men. We know nothing about them. We do not know how it began, but we see two men who demons have totally inhabited, and they have inhabited to the degree that they control these two men. These men are extremely fierce, which means they just, you go to McDonald's, they don't give you your Whopper like you want it. So, or you don't get a Whopper at McDonald's, do you? Sorry, let me go back on that one. You go to McDonald's for your Big Mac, and they give you a quarter pounder, and you shoot someone? Or you go to Walmart, and somebody doesn't help you fast enough, so you get in a fight with, what's wrong with us? Well, I don't have to look around. I know exactly where it comes from. Do you? Fierce. Satan corrupts. Demons corrupt. And when I see young people that have been through our church and our school, and I see their behavior, I'm not saying good little boy. I know once saved, always saved. I'm like, I see more of Satan here. Their corruption is total. I'm going to have you turn to a verse in a moment, and I'm going to have to borrow a couple of guys in just a moment too. If you go back to Matthew chapter 8, please. We find several characteristics of this corruption. Exceeding fierce. They lived in the tombs, the graveyard. It says, and they were so fierce that no man might pass by that way. In verse 31, when the demons respond to the Lord Jesus and beg him, they besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer or allow us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And you say, I don't understand what you mean by corruption. Please look at me. Satan and all of the demons are really simple. This isn't complex. There doesn't have to be any voodoo. There doesn't have to be any worship of demons. No, I wasn't even planning on a joke on that one. Friends, when I look at results and I start seeing the corruption, fierce, look at me. People, no one can get along with the person. Where do you think that comes from? Let's do this. I'll talk about that more in a moment. Can I borrow a couple people? Let me see. Dada, are you awake enough for me to borrow you? You're going to be a demon. You're over here. Louis, you got to be because you're the bad demon. You're over here. I hate to use him as a demon, but it's the story and it's the illustration. Him, he just... Step over a little closer. Do that eye thing. If you don't think that's not demonic, folks, something's wrong there. Friends, I want to say this. Christians have this question. They have this question, and I confess to you, I'm going to say some things very hard, and I'm going to say it deliberately, and I wonder how many people will listen. I am so tired of some of the conversations I hear in our church. Because we think we have escaped the demons. There's three different levels. I see demon influence three ways, like a spectrum from one extreme to a middle place. But this is just as bad as this, but it looks different. Here's demons. These two men were demon-possessed. They were demonized from the inside out. Demon possession. Got it? Christians sometimes say this, a Christian can never be demonically possessed. I'm okay with that. That's probably true. In the middle is what we would call demonic oppression. My problem is, how do you define that differently than this? Well, the demon doesn't inhabit you, but you are highly controlled by demons. I'm not really worried about either one of these. I'm worried about this one. On the other extreme, I'm just going to call it demonic influence. Would you be as kind to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2? Stay here, gentlemen. So everybody kind of understands. Here's the thing. Most people look at Dada here and think, well, how would I know if I'm influenced by demons? Have you ever listened to people's conversations that have been Christians for 30 years and understand they talk just like pagans? And by the way, I did not mention cursing or anything. I'm talking about we'll get to it. Influence, oppression, and then there's this. By the way, I've never really seen this. Now, I'm not saying this does not exist in America. My guess it does. My guess sometimes when you hear of craziness, please look at me. I look around here. I saw Gwanwi bring in and her husband Colin bring in their handsome son. I'm being dead serious. How does a father or a mother kill their own children? Something's got to be wrong. Well, you say they're mentally ill. Folks, that's not normal. Is that demon possession? Maybe in some cases. Because the normal thing is for us to love our children. And I do love my children. Not as much as my grandchildren, but I do love my children. Amy, I didn't get a thing. Okay. Are you all at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11? Read with me, please. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Here's where it gets tough. It says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, which by the way indicates it is possible for Satan to have some kind of influence in your life. Is that correct? Yes or no? I mean, Paul is saying, he says, I don't want Satan to get advantage over us, for we are not ignorant, and notice this phrase, of his devices. But friends, the Greek word for device is a word that refers to the mind. His plans, his tricks. He has certain, by the way, I don't look around this room, and I have rarely ever seen, by the way, with the exception of two or three or four people that are part of our ministry, very few people that consider themselves Christians do I even find are oppressed. They're influenced, and they're influenced by ideas. They talk and think like the world. So, am I worried about Louis? Do that face again. He's too scary, folks. No one's going to bring him home. By the way, I'm too scary. But this guy over here, you don't really have to believe that stuff in the Bible. Those are ideas. You got me? Those are Satan's devices, his ideas, his thinking, his tricks, his schemes. Are you listening? How many of those lies have you believed? Let me ask you another question. How many of those lies do you believe right now? Thank you, gentlemen. By the way, I'm not inviting him home. Joke, okay? You're not invited, but you'll invite him home because those are just ideas. They're safe. I have said this morning that demons, their existence is real. Their corruption is total. But mainly in all parts of the world, they're the ideas of demons, not so much anything else. A friend of mine in high school, a year or two back, maybe 3 years now, it's been a while because of COVID, I was visiting or talking on the phone with a high school friend. He's the only guy that I have talked to in high school since I left. I really don't have contact where I grew up, sadly, at all. And we brought up a mutual friend, and I'm going to say his name. His name is Tom. Specifically, his last name was LaPlante. Tom LaPlante. Probably a French name, very uncommon where I'm from. Tom was a friend of ours in high school. Now, I would like to say he was a friend that was a Christian, but my biggest memory of Tom LaPlante is two. Number one is how many nights I picked him up and carried him into his parents' house down by Nutwood, Illinois, along the Illinois River, because he was so drunk he could not walk. I remember in Jerseyville, Illinois, one night he was so drunk he was passed out on the road. I remember, I don't know if you've ever tried this. He wasn't a big guy, probably 150, 160, 170. I went over and had to pick him up, put him over my shoulder. He was totally unconscious, and put him in a car. And when I drove home, I drove him to his parents' house and carried him into his bedroom. I did that somewhere between 5 and 10 times. Chris Dunham did it a lot more because they were drinking buddies more than we were drinking buddies. Well, after marriage, Jenny knows this, for some reason, I made contact with Tom LaPlante. And Jenny and I went and visited Tom and his wife. And he ended up with, he had two children that I knew of. I mean, I think, in that, do you remember where the two, it seems like? And his wife was a beautiful, smart, sweet woman. Now, friend, I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about life. Tom still had a problem with, now, when he got married, his wife said, it's either me or the bottle. Here's the problem. He worked in Alton, 35 miles down the Great River Road. Most guys didn't like to drive alone, so three or four of them would get together and drive. And when they came home at night, do you understand redneck white people? They drink beer. Got to stop for a brewski on the way home. A long neck. A cold one. So they'd get off work. They'd drive up the Great River Road, find some watering hole, some tavern, have a few brews. The problem is Tom could never drink a beer. Tom, when he drank a beer, he was into the case. Every single time. I'm against drinking of alcohol, period. I find nothing good in it. I want to make that clear. So here's my buddy Tom. We visited them a couple times, two or three, you think? Through a process, unbelievably, Tom got saved. And of all places, in a liberal church, but it was way out in the country, so they took the evangelicals in that denomination and stuck them out in the country. He went to a revival meeting, and when I say liberal, United Methodist liberal. But there was an evangelical pastor. He got saved there. He and his wife started going to church. He started doing well. And I remember the last time I talked to him, I said, Tom, just don't ride to work with anybody. Because he had a problem with alcohol. By the way, demon whiskey controlled him. Because this is what he would do. He would ride with somebody and say, I'll stay in the car while you get a beer. That was the first day. Second day, I'll come in and I'll do what? I'll have a Coke. And by the third day, he was drunk again. I talked to Chris a couple years ago. I said, have you talked to Tom LePan? He says, I haven't seen him in years. But his wife left him because of demon alcohol. So you look me in the eyes. Don't you play games with this old boy. I wasn't born yesterday. Satan is corrupt and he corrupts everything. And he doesn't want an inch. He wants it all. And he's going to take it all. And he's going to destroy it all. So here was a guy with a beautiful, lovely wife, sweet, two children. He hadn't seen them probably in decades. Had a guy in my church in St. Louis, was a whoremonger. Do you know what that means? Males. Couldn't keep his hands off of other women. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't want to tell anybody he'd been married four times. He didn't want to tell anybody that he couldn't even see his children from his one of those three marriages, the previous ones, because it was written in the law that he couldn't have any contact with. He didn't want to tell people that one of his forays when he came home, his wife had taken, and he was a dresser. He was a guy that had all the fancy suits, and his wife took scissors and cut them all up. You say why? He couldn't keep his hands off women. Friends, I'm not so much, and I'm joking about Louis. I love Louis. I'm not so much worried about demon possession. Frankly, I don't care if you call it oppression. I'm more worried about the ideas that people buy into that I can get away with it. It won't affect me. Oh, it will. Because he's coming to steal things from you. He's coming to destroy things that are precious to you. And I've seen it in this room. You see, it's the ideas. Now I'm going to be mean for the only time in the sermon. This old man is exceptionally tired of hearing this foolishness. Well, as long as they're happy. As long as they're happy. You ever notice that people that always want to be happy, happy, and are willing to do whatever it takes to be happy, happy, are still not happy? I always think to myself, the things people do to be happy, they're willing to change jobs, move locations, change spouses, but hey, as long as you're happy, you're in a better place. You're happy now. As long as you're happy. I said in Sunday school, I'll say again, that statement is one of the dumbest, unbiblical statements, but I've heard it right here. How about this? As long as he or she is loyal, as long as a person's living honorably, I think those are what makes you happy. Honor, integrity. I grew up with that generation. You know that generation that went off to World War II? They weren't perfect, but most of them would not have understood, I live for happiness. So here Jenny and I are, since I think Jim Duncan actually caused the forest fires. He worked for FEMA. FEMA takes care of natural disasters. I think they start the disasters to take care of the disasters. That's logical, isn't it? Anyhow, we can't go to Globe. What do you do when you find out your first 3 days of vacation and all the things you have planned is gone? Well, I had backup thoughts. We'll drive up towards Flagstaff. And there's a place along the way where there's some ancient ruins called, one of them is called Montezuma's Castle. One of them is called Montezuma's Well. It has nothing to do with Montezuma or the Aztec, but they're ancient dwellings. We drive up and we go to Montezuma's Well. Cute little place in the desert. There's water. There's actually a lot of water there. We go there. We're looking at the things, and there's three ladies that come up. Two of them are sisters. One of them's a friend. Nice. Just had a great talk with them. We talked with them for the mile or two that we walked. They were funny, good-natured. And the one lady said something to me, and I'm thinking, she's probably not a Christian. When are Christians going to get this? And by the way, I'm being mean. I'm not going to do any good. Look at me in the eyes. Because if you've bought in that I need to be happy, you're never going to be happy. You're going to be looking over your shoulder for happiness the rest of your life. And I can say this 1,000 times, but you're still looking to be happy. And it's my God-given right to be happy, whatever that means. I think to myself, you have a baby. Who's going to change the diapers? Do changing diapers make you happy? Or do you do it because you got to do it? I don't know. Well, Jenny was there, so you can ask her. The lady said, yep, we're from New York City. But we left New York City. Too cold in the winter. Too much snow. She says, you know what? What did she say? Do you remember? She says, I don't like Phoenix anymore. It's too hot. Hey, but as long as they're happy, as long as you're happy, happy. By the way, do you understand even what I'm talking about? Here's our problem. I'm not worried about demons possessing somebody. I'm more worried about dumb influences where people are willing to move, lose their church family, their friends, their livelihood, oftentimes their spouses. Or I move to Arkansas for one guy, marry another guy, divorce that guy, now with another guy, but I'm happy! Stop the lying, Satan. We'll move on so we can get done today. Back to verse 29, please. I'll conclude very quickly. I have said this morning, demons, their existence is real. How do we know? The results. Demons, their corruption is total. And friend, whether it's being possessed by a demon, oppressed by a demon, I think more likely it's just influenced by the way a demon wants you to think about life. Number three, it's in verse 29. Verse 29, unbelievably, says this, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Number three, demons, their doom is sure. Their destruction is sure. You say, why are you as a Christian not into demons and woo in the name of Jesus and all the foolishness? Because friends, from the very early encounters with Christ, the third and fourth point will hook together. Demons were scared to death of Jesus. So this nonsense of constantly talking about demons like they're possessing every Christian in the church is a way of simply switching attention. Christians ought to be following Christ. They ought to be obeying the Scripture. They ought to be walking in the Spirit, walking in the steps of the Spirit. This thing of fighting demons, when they meet Jesus, I wrote something. Demons are doomed, and they know they are doomed, and they know the day is set for their destruction, and they fear Jesus, the Messiah. Not only will they be tortured, they were afraid they'd be tortured right now. Friends, demons, their doom is sure. For time, I'm going to have to skip over it, and we'll pick that up on Wednesday. Number four, verse 29, please. Verse 29. After they say to Jesus, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many pigs, swine, feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, it's amazing, folks. Number four, demons, their power is limited. Please look at me in the eyes. Satan and the demons do not have power over you if you're in Christ. They're not telling Jesus what to do. Look at me. I get this stuff from Charismania. It's almost like there's Jesus and there's Satan and the demons. And the battle is equal. And it's all according to which side. Oh, are you ridiculous? That's ridiculous. The demons were scared to death that Jesus would torment them before he sent them to hell. They then beg him, if you're going to cast us out, please allow us to go into these pigs. Folks, their power is highly limited. They don't do any telling. Jesus does all the telling. They don't control anything. Jesus does. That doesn't mean you can't be influenced. That doesn't mean if you're a saved person, you couldn't be oppressed. And as an unsaved person, you couldn't be possessed. But when it comes to being a follower of Christ, whom Christ then by the Spirit of God indwells, all of this fear of demons is nonsense. I only fear that Satan, let me make it human, I'm not trying to be too funny, when you see Louie coming, you know you're in trouble. When you see Noel coming, you think you're not in trouble. Satan deceives us, tricks us, insinuates things, gets us to believe dumb ideas. But in the sense of Satan and his demons being in charge, that is a fallacy. Two last texts. Would you look with me, please? John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. I have a lot of other texts, but we're not going to read them this morning. John chapter 10 and verse 28. Forgive me for taking so long. I wanted to lay a lot of groundwork. I'm really saying very simple things. Demons, their existence is real. How do we know? Results. Their corruption is complete or total. Friends, you play around with demonic possession, oppression, or influence, and man, you're going to go to places you wish you didn't go. You're going to end up in places you never thought you would end up. You're going to end up like my friend Tom LaPlante that had a family that doesn't have a family. Or how about another guy I know that had such an anger problem and a bullying problem that he liked to beat up his wife. Now he doesn't have a wife or children or grandchildren because none of them will have anything to do with him. Friends, there's somewhere along the line you got to realize Satan is back there. Thirdly, demons, their doom, their destruction is sure. They knew that. Number four. Their power is limited. How so? John chapter 10, verse 28. One of the most beautiful texts. And I give unto them, what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is what? Greater than all. Friends, as a Christian, I don't sit around and go, oh, demons, demons. I want to be what Paul is. I want to be aware. I want to be aware of the lies because I'm more over here, friend. I'm more over here open to the lies of American culture and the lies of this country. And by the way, this is a great country, but there are lots of lies. Make all the money you can. Who cares about anything else? This just goes on and on and on. That's more of my fear. Not a fear. That's more of the reality. But in the sense of this, let's read this whole text again one more time. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. One last text, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So friend, I want to say this. Please look at me and I'm done. If this morning you are impacted by demons, if you're a believer, that means you have welcomed them into your ear. And you're listening, and you're buying into stupid. Or you have decided demon rum, demon alcohol is really okay. Nothing will happen. Hey, I can handle it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Father, I ask your blessing on the message this morning. Way too much information I knew it would be, even though I just tried to talk about the ideas in the text. Father, my great fear is that we get fixated on demonic possession and forget about demonic influence. Or as 1 Timothy 4 talks about the doctrines or the teaching of demons. And the demons are actively teaching. Father, help us to understand. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Our salvation is secure in yourself. And our future is as secure as we stand by the stuff, follow Christ, do right, because